How many times have you heard the expression something like, you know what they say? Or the expression, you know, asking, what are they building up on Midlothian Turnpike now? Or why don't they do something about the panhandlers downtown? Or why do they allow stuff like that to be on TV in the first place? They, probably not a day goes by that you don't hear or you say it yourself, something about what they say or they do or they don't do. I got a question this morning. Who are they anyway? You've heard that question before. Who is all these theys that constantly pop up in our conversations? Well, I know one reason why we use the word they. It's just easier than figuring out who we're talking about or what particular entity or organization or corporation or something like that. It's too much trouble to figure out the County Administrative Office of Development and Planning ought to do something about this and that. So we just say they, right? And we're lazy. We hate to figure out who they is anyway, so we use that word a lot. My mother-in-law will refer to Debbie and them coming over in a little bit. Well, it's just me and Debbie. I mean, can't you say my name too? Come on. But she's gotten in the habit of saying that. It's always just Debbie and them are coming over or something like that. Who is they? Is what we're asking today. There was a pastor who went to visit a member of the church who had been a longtime member of the church who hadn't been involved in the church for a long time. And as he was visiting this lady, she came to one point in the conversation and she was curious. And she said, "What are they doing down at the church anyway now?" And that pastor had a message for next Sunday morning. And the message was entitled, "We Are They." You can figure out what the pastor was talking about, right? We're no longer we, now we're they. And I'd like to have heard that message. Throughout the history of the church has talked about a lot of different theys. They do this, they do that. Sometimes the list pointed, and very often it pointed to the officials in Jesus' day and time, those religious leaders, you know. You know what those Pharisees did, or those scribes or Sadducees, or those people who opposed Jesus. And at other times, it's been the they has been the Gentiles. You see that in the New Testament. Or women, or the uncircumcised, or the eunuchs, or the Judaizers, or the barbarians. Various different theys along the way. Because every group, every tribe, every organization tends to identify the bad guys as being they. And who are the bad guys? Well, did you follow the drift of the story this morning as Dustin was reading it to us from the 21st chapter of Matthew? Did you follow it? Jesus is telling a story. He told a lot of stories. The Pharisees were probably enjoying that story, talking about this guy who made a vineyard, which is a very common thing they could relate to. Guy built this vineyard, put a lot of work into it, and then put these tenants in charge of the vineyard. And the Pharisees were probably enjoying the story and clucking along and saying, "Oh my goodness, those wicked tenants. Aren't they awful to mistreat the owner's servants the way they did? Well, those folks are terrible. I mean, and the son was sent to them and they did that to him? Why, those people are just awful. Why did they do that?" They were enjoying the story just great until Jesus started to talk about the story, until he started to apply the story, and then they realized, hey, wait a minute. He's talking about us. I'm offended. How about you? We got to get this guy. Look how he is insulting. Not them. He's talking about us. Everybody likes to talk about the failures and the faults of them. But nobody likes to confront his or her own shortcomings and goof-ups. You and I can learn about the Christians in Germany in the 1940s And the Nazis were coming along and they were tormenting and torturing and killing a lot of people. Why didn't the Christians back then speak up? Why didn't they protest? Why didn't they say something? Why didn't they do this and that? That's easy to say. But how about when you and I learned about our government tortures people? Tortures people to get information from them, whether it's Abu Ghraib prison or the other things going on there. I got a question. Did you say anything? Did you write to your congressman? Did you send a letter of protest to the president or a government official you thought was in charge? Did you say anything? You know, it's a fact that when this news about our country torturing people went out, nothing was said by white American Christians, which is, you know, what we are. Why not? So maybe it's not appropriate for us to say, well, those German Christians in the 1940s should have said something. It's not them. It's us as well. That's the whole point of Jesus' truth today as he's telling it to us. We might think that Jesus is condemning the Pharisees. He was at that day and that time and that moment. But the story moves on. And God has it in the Bible because the story is not about them. It's not about the Pharisees. It's about you and me. We are the wicked tenants. We tend to do the same thing that they did. This vineyard owner had already done a lot of the grunt work. He planted the vineyard. That's a lot of work, you know, plowing and all that stuff. He put a fence around it. Building a fence is a lot of work. He put a wine press in it, and he built a watchtower over it. He got the whole thing set up, is what the Bible says here. And then he put other people in charge and said, here, you guys run the show. But you see, it's not in their hands. This vineyard is in our hands. And like the Pharisees, we've made two mistakes. We tend to think the land is ours, and we tend to think that we can just manage it according to the way we want to and do what we want to do. And every day that you and I act as if our possessions are ours, or that our time belongs to us, we've made the same mistake. Who owns this place? Who owns this world? Who owns what you have? Who owns your time? You think it's you? The real owner of all things is none other than God. And you say, oh yes, I know that. I believe that. Okay, the question for you is, then why do you make so many decisions about your stuff and about your time as if you're in charge? How come you don't ask God about it? Oh, it's because we're making the same mistake as the Pharisees. And we can't talk about them. We got to talk about us. When God leaves this world in our hands, we make it a jungle. He gave us a garden, we make it a jungle. A jungle of war, terror, ecological disasters, families in disarray, oh my goodness, confusion, fear, pessimism, taking old, good, solid values and twisting them into what they are in this day and time. Taking old words and redefining them into something else. Oh yeah, we are really good about that. And you're probably just protesting now. You're saying, hey, wait a minute, I don't do that. That's not my fault. That's them. They do that. Boy, isn't that human nature. Been doing that since the Garden of Eden. The man blamed the woman and the woman blamed the serpent, and we just like to pass the buck. But blame it on the government or this sorry religious institution or something, anybody other than me. Years ago, Billy Joel wrote and sang a song, "We didn't start the fire, but it's always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire." Remember that song? What's he saying? It's not our fault. It's our ancestors' fault. Same thing. But Jesus doesn't let us off the hook so easily. He closes the distance between them and we. And he says, no, wait a minute, folks. I'm talking about y'all. The church collected these stories and parables and they left this one in. Why? Because it wasn't about the Pharisees. It was about the church. It was about us, about all religious groups. Don't forget, you're just the tenant. Don't forget, you're not the owner. You're in charge, but you've got a responsibility. But we tend to think that's somebody else's. I was interested to read about the pastor who he had a lady in his church who really gossiped. I mean, gossiping was her thing. It was destructive. It was causing a lot of problems. Lady was a terrible gossip. So the pastor decided he was really going to preach hard on gossip. He slammed into it one Sunday morning. He gave it to him hard and fast and steady about the evils of gossip. He just made it crystal clear how evil gossip was. Lo and behold, when that lady was walking out the church door at the end of the service, she looked at the pastor and said, "Boy, you really gave it to him today." Hey, let's blame the liberals. Or let's blame the conservatives. Let's blame the government, or the gays, or the immigrants, or the terrorists, or the crummy elite in the media. Let's blame them, all right? Because it's their fault the world is the way it is. And who is them? Who are they? I've talked to people who own rental property. I've owned people who own a house, and they rent it out to other folks. What's the biggest headache for the people who's the landlord? I see some of you shaking your head because some of you have rental property. What's your biggest headache? The key is what? Who you rent to. Because you rent to somebody who just doesn't care and they trash the place. They just ruin it. It is awful. Having a bad renter is a nightmare. An awful thing. And sometimes when they're really, really bad, I know that the thing they have to do is kick them out. And that's the right thing to do. The dream is the tenant who lives in that house and treats it as if it were her own, treats it better than if it was his. Hey, this isn't mine. I really ought to take care of Bob's property, right? Because I know Bob doesn't want it trashed. That's a good tenant. So what kind of tenant are you? You know, the whole point of what Jesus is talking about is you're accountable. You're accountable for what you're doing now with your time and your efforts and your what you have. And God does hold you accountable. You appreciate that at work, don't you? You still working? You are held accountable for what you're doing or you're not doing. You are held to standards. Your boss or the people who have oversight over you expect you to do a good job. And if you don't, you're going to have to answer for it. That makes you a better worker. That makes you a better person. That makes you more productive in a lot of different ways. How come then we might come to church and then expect no accountability? Uh-uh. You're not off the hook. God holds you accountable in the ways that Jesus described. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're up to. And He cares about what you're doing. In this vineyard,